This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Not even 40 minutes from Ask Amy Anything, so need to get your questions in. I can't see them because I've just gotten a message. Now, this is Jay's Facebook account. Your account is locked. Turn on Facebook Protect to unlock your account. Metaface, trying to posture like it runs the world or something. It's after hours. It's the Hump Show. It's pretty standard around here. And we're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Talking some baseball just before the top of the hour. We're going to continue with that here momentarily. But send your questions for Ask Amy to our Facebook page, because I can't see them, or to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It wasn't a come-from-behind win, but a win is a win is a win is a win.
3-1. Swung on. Here it goes to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It is going. Gonzalez. He homers to right center field, and the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
Now the 0-1. Grounded to second. Flipped to short one. On to first. Double play. Now the Yankees turn the 4-6-3 double play. Allen is speedy. They turned that very well, the 4-6-3 DP. Holmes deals a little grounder to second. And the throw to first base is in time for the out. Ball game over. Yankees win. Yankees win.
John Sterling, the iconic voice of Yankees radio. Even though the A's get a run in the ninth inning, Yankees end up with another victory. This time it's 2-1. So not a ton of offense, not a huge run differential, but they get the job done and pad their lead atop the AL East. Coming up here momentarily, we're going to talk with Ricky Ricardo, who is the Spanish language voice of Yankees radio and also Philadelphia Eagles football. So kind of cool. We're excited to welcome him to the show for the first time. He recently had another opportunity to fill in for John.
Holmes sets at the chest. Here comes the 1-2, and it is rolled to the right side. LeMahieu has it. DJ steps on the bag, and the Yankees win the ball game. Oh, what does that smell like, folks? It smells like victory for the New York Yankees. With the final score tonight of 5-4.
He brings such a flair. I love listening to Ricky. And he joins us now here on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Ricky, I know you've done games for John Sterling before. You're right there in the mix on the Spanish language broadcast. But what's it like for you with the Yankees now 35 games above 500, having this incredible first half of the season, to be right there in the middle of it all, calling the action?
Well, it's obviously a roller coaster ride, but it's been a fun one this year instead of, you know, a scary one. Tonight was rather mundane, if I dare use that term. A 2-1 win where we thought it was a 2-0 win. Even Sinatra started singing at the stadium before the base runner got first base on that catcher's interference with two outs in the ninth inning. And the Oakland A's, all the credit in the world to the A's, they scratched and clawed and got a run out of it and had the tying run at third base with two outs, but Clay Holmes is able to, you know, put a seal on that and get another win. But it's been magical. And the fun part about this, Amy, is that this is the one season that I can remember in the immediate, I'd say, what, past four or five, maybe back to 2017 and the whole baby bombers era, this is the one year where the expectations weren't as high as before. People were, you know, kind of taken aback by the trade that brought Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. You know, the Yankees did not make that big splash with the big names at shortstop, the free agents in the offseason. You know, everybody was waiting for a Correa to sign or, you know, one of the big name shortstops to get a big $30 million a year deal. It didn't happen. So it looked like Brian Cashman had gone shopping at a dollar store. And everyone told me, you know, I live in Florida, so, you know, I was back and forth each and every day in spring training. Once the lockout, you know, was settled, everything got going finally, and everyone said, "Well, this is a third place team." You know, Toronto was the morning line favorite to win the American League East. You know, Tampa Bay is always in the mix, and since they were the defending champions, a lot of people had Toronto and Tampa Bay battling out for the top of the division, and the Yankees and Red Sox maybe for third and fourth in the American League East. So it's been a pleasant surprise. In a season where, you know, the expectations have not been or weren't put on a level that it was either, you know, the American League East to start with and World Series or bust, when everybody, you know, didn't really expect much was going to happen, here comes this locomotive of a team that's now 35 games over 500.
Earning win number 55 on Tuesday night, and we'll talk about their flair for the dramatic, but I love the story of J.P. Sears on Tuesday. It was just a week ago that he didn't even have 5,000 fans watching him in Toledo, and then he steps on the mound at Yankee Stadium, all eyes on him and the pressure cooker. What a performance by him.
He's been fantastic. Remember that J.P. Sears made the opening day roster. He came north with the ball club when there was 28 men on the roster and you didn't have any limit on how many pitchers you could have. So Sears and Ron Marinaccio, you know, coincidentally relieved him tonight. You know, they both made the opening day roster. Now we're down to having 13 pitchers and he got the start. Funny thing is, he was sent right back to the minor leagues after the game tonight.
Oh.
But he's 3-0. His ERA is a wonderful 0.00. And look, the Yankee starting rotation has been wonderful. And I keep saying this when people ask me, how far do I think this team can go? There are three guys in that starting five, Jameson Taillon, Luis Severino, and Nestor Cortes, who've been fantastic. But remember, due to injury like Severino or Cortes, who's never really been through a full season as a starter, or Jameson Taillon, who's also had his injury issues, these guys aren't, you know, 170, 200 inning pitchers. They don't have that kind of track record. So it's kind of an unknown how far these guys are going to go as far as, you know, the wear and tear on that arm deep into the season. So you're going to need people like J.P. Sears. You're going to need a Domingo Herman who's, you know, doing some rehab starting now on his way back. You're going to have to go 7, 8, 9 deep, as every team does as far as their starting staff is concerned, to get through 6 months in 162 games. So I'm sure we'll see more of J.P. Sears, who is just a wonderful story, as you mentioned, a wonderful guy. I got to meet him in Tampa during spring training. But the shame of it all is he comes up, makes a tremendous start, gets another win, and he's sent right back down after the game.
Frequent flyer miles for J.P. Sears. We're spending a few minutes with Ricky Ricardo, who is the Spanish radio play-by-play voice of the Yankees, as well as the Eagles, actually. So Philadelphia fans familiar with him. Recently filled in for John Sterling on the English language broadcast. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Before we talk more about the Yankees, Ricky, I just want to tell you how much I enjoyed hearing you fill in for John. And I'm already on your bandwagon. It's so entertaining. And I find that I really not only enjoy the baseball, but I enjoy the commentary when I'm listening to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, for years, I tend to style myself to guys like John Miller and people like that who have always been great play-by-play men, but at the same time, you know, we'll crack a joke or two and make it fun to listen to a ball game. And, you know, we live in a serious enough world as it is. So when you're going to enjoy a baseball game, have a laugh or two with a friend, if you're riding in a car, but yeah, I mean, if you're listening to baseball on the radio, you're probably doing something else and it's a secondary medium. So, I'm there to just lighten things up a little bit, actually put you there and paint the picture of what's going on, but at the same time, make it fun.
Well, I call it my soundtrack of summer, and it kind of goes hand in hand with our summer activities. What does it mean to you to have the opportunity to fill in for John when those chances come up?
Well, it's obviously an honor for me to sit in that chair. Those are big shoes to fill. John and I have become very, very close friends. I mean, we've been working together. This is my ninth year with the Yankees. Prior to this, I was also doing Philadelphia Phillies baseball. That's where the whole Eagles thing also came from. I do talk shows on our sister station in Philly, WIP, at WFA. I even hosted a couple of shows on CBS Sports Radio.
Nice!
Over the winter. But John and I have gotten very close. As you know, we had a little incident with the night of the flood where John needed a little help rescued out of a car that he was in that was about to go afloat. And so I was able to help him out that night, which was just, you know, it was something that had to be done. And we stepped up and got it done and made sure John got home safe and in one piece that night. So we've become very close friends. When he chose to step back a little bit from some of the travel and working on the road, he made it clear to me and asked me if I was interested in filling in for him and that he would tell the powers that be that he thought that I should be the guy to do it. So at the same time, you know, a lot of our Spanish language broadcast sponsors and people that are loyal to that broadcast at the same time were like, oh, wait a minute, hold on a second. You know, that's our guy. So I've had to kind of walk a tightrope between maybe disappointing some of that sector, but at the same time filling in for the legendary John Sterling. Not only just a great broadcaster, but a great guy.
I don't know why it is that it sounds so much more dramatic in Espanol than it does in English, but it's so much fun to listen. Even for people who don't speak the language, the way that you call it and the use of the words and just the drama of the language anyway, it's a lot of fun to listen in Spanish.
All sports tend to be, remember, the Caribbean Hispanic, which is baseball crazy, okay? The Dominican, Puerto Rican, Cuban, now it's really spreading into, you're seeing players come from Honduras. There's a Houston Astro, Dubon is from Honduras. You've got guys now from Colombia. So it's starting to spread around Central and South America. Mexico, obviously, has been a huge baseball country for years. But the major sports in these countries, Amy, are baseball, soccer, obviously, and boxing. And those three sports tend to be very, very dramatic. They're taken very, very seriously. I mean, the fan bases are just mad about their sports and their teams. You know, it's very, very passionate to an extreme sometimes. So it's part of our culture. You know, I am of Cuban descent, although I was born in New Jersey. But my mom and dad, you know, both were big baseball fans. My dad took me to Yankee Stadium, and he's screaming his lungs out, and he was the calmest, gentlest guy during the week you'd ever want to meet. But, you know, when either a Met or a Yankees, he cheered for both, you know, committed an error, he'd go out and take a walk just to calm down. So we're very passionate when it comes to our sports, and I reflect that in the way I broadcast in Spanish. I do it a little differently when I'm doing it in English, you know. I don't bring that same... Not that I don't bring the energy, but it's a different approach to the game in English. I understand the difference.
Yes.
And I try my best to, you know, to bring a little bit of that flavor from the Spanish side, but at the same time, a little bit. Someone used the term last week when I was doing the games for John, the little panache that I bring to the English broadcast. So, you know, it's a tightrope that I walk from a little bit of both sides, both cultures when I'm doing a ball game.
I'm so glad to hear about your Cuban heritage. I haven't been back since 2019, but I've done 5 humanitarian trips there to work with youth in Cuba. And what I found is that the majority of them are either Red Sox or Yankees fans. Now, there's a bunch of Dodgers fans, too, but there's a lot of Yankees fans, a lot of Red Sox fans. And as you say, of course, football, soccer is their number one sport. But, man, baseball is not only their love, their passion, but it's also a ticket out in some cases.
It is. That's the way out. You know, right now there's a tide of political movement in some of these countries, and it's a time where if you can really, really get exposed to major league scouts or even Mexican league scouts.
Right.
You look at a guy like Randy Arozarena from the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, he got out and didn't go to the U.S. directly. Went to Mexico, played in the Mexican league. So baseball right now is spreading so much around all of Latin and Central America that it's probably the easiest time in recent history to be able to defect from a place where you're oppressed and use your talent, get to another country, get to the Dominican Republic, play there. Maybe in the Dominican winter baseball is just a notch below the major leagues. It's very, very good, high-quality baseball, as is both the Mexican summer and winter leagues. So if you're able to get out and don't leave a big problem with your family behind on the island, that's your ticket out, and hopefully you get to eventually get to show your wares on the major league level.
Ricky Ricardo is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I could talk about Cuba and talk about baseball in some of these countries forever, but let's get back to the Yankees a little bit. Of their 55 wins, 23 of them have been in come-from-behind fashion. What is it about this team that makes them so good and such a tough out, Ricky?
There's a belief amongst this group. First of all, there's a chip on their shoulder because of what I mentioned earlier, that nobody really expected much of them. They came out of Tampa. They came north knowing that, Toronto and all the young talent there, they're the favorites. Tampa Bay, they've been dominant. They've been great at Yankee Stadium, have the Rays for the last couple of years. So this is a very proud group of Warriors that left Tampa with a bit of a chip on their shoulder. And I tell you what, they look at each other to see who's going to be the hero tonight. If I didn't get it done, you're going to get it done. You know, there are star players and character guys throughout that clubhouse. Look at a guy like Jose Trevino. Just a minor blip deal late in spring training because they needed a catcher, because the one they got from Minnesota, Ben Rourke, got hurt. So you bring in a guy like Trevino, and he's been a godsend. The way he handles the pitching staff, the defense, throwing behind runners, clutch hitting, power every once in a while. Tonight, it was Trevino and Marwin Gonzalez, of all people, that got the two runs home, and that was enough for the Yankee pitching. And how about the scouting staff, the people behind the scenes? Who the heck was Clay Holmes when the Yankees made a deal? I mean, really, Clay who? I mean, it sounded like a country western singer. You know, the Yankees acquired Clay Holmes. Does he play guitar? From the Pittsburgh Pirates. And here he's become the top relief pitcher in the American League and maybe all of Major League Baseball. They see talent in guys, even the guy like Albert Abreu, who they traded for Trevino. He didn't really do well in Texas, didn't do well in Kansas City, and they bring him back because the Yankees see talent in some of these guys. They know how to tweak. They're confident in the way they teach the game up and down the system, and people put that Yankee uniform on, and it brings the best out of them.
How would you describe the season Aaron Judge is having right now?
Oh, it's MVP, and the other way to describe it is cha-ching. You know, it's the cash register. He bet on himself, and I'm as guilty as anyone else that looked at his refusal at the $210 million, the offer that was made on that morning right before we got started, and said, are you kidding me? At age 30, on the age 30 season, you're going to say no to $210 million, and whatever he was going to make this year was going to end up being around $230-odd million. But I tell you what, all the credit in the world to Aaron Judge. He's become a wonderful center fielder. Let's not forget, he's not playing right field anymore.
Right.
He is a gazelle, and he's a beautiful athlete to watch.
He is.
Yeah. You know, covering center field, the long strides, the throwing arm. He's hitting for average. He's hitting in the 290s, leading the league in home runs, in the top three or four in runs batted in. He bet on himself, and he is winning. We're about halfway, maybe a few games short of being halfway through this season, and he is on a pace that is really going to take that $210 million offer and elevate that probably into the $300 million range.
So considering what he means to the team, but also considering the stage on which he plays daily and the city where the Yankees reside, if Brian Cashman comes to you and says, Ricky, what should I do? I need your counsel. do you tell Brian to pay him whatever he asks, or do you finagle over a year or a couple of million here and there?
I think you, that's a good question. I think the years are what's important to the Yankees, but let's remember, they've gotten a lot of production, very good production, out of Aaron Judge at a very low price because he's come through the system. It's the complete opposite of what the Angels did when they paid Albert Pujols. The Angels paid Pujols basically for all the great Cardinal years. But Aaron, let's say they give Aaron Judge $40 million for 7 years and maybe throw in an option for an eighth year at around $40 million. It's $40 million. But remember, he's given you what? You know, a good 5 years before that,
right,
of top-notch production. So when you average it out from the beginning of Judge's career, remember he set the rookie record for home runs that then Pete Alonso would come over and break. But from the get-go, he's been an impactful player for your organization. So if you give him more money, maybe fewer years, but at a higher clip, at more money, it's a whole career investment. So I'd say if I was advising a guy like Brian Cashman, give him 7-8 years at a very high number. Avoid the 10 years, because what that does is kind of like bog down your roster maybe in years 9 and 10. But I'd go 7-8 years at a very high number, even if it's around $40 million. Give it to him. He's the face of the franchise. There's number 99 jerseys all over the world, everywhere I go. You know, right now, the new number 2 is number 99, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
It's a worthy investment. It's a career investment, a lifetime Yankee, the face of the franchise, and eventually probably the Yankee captain.
It's going to be a long, hot summer, but could have a ton of fireworks if you are a Yankees fan. So you can follow Ricky Ricardo on Twitter at @RR_RicardoFAN, and you hear him on the Spanish language broadcast of the Yankees and the Eagles, now and then filling in for the great John Sterling on Yankees radio. And it's so good to have a couple of minutes with you. Muchas gracias, mi amigo.
Gracias, Amy.
I mean, I just love to listen to that guy. If he was reading a phone book, as I said, it would be the opposite of dull, anything but boring. And I hope that's how you feel when you listen to my show, although I can't claim to be as entertaining as Ricky Ricardo. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Access has been restored. We've got Ask Amy Anything coming up in just a few minutes now. So make sure you get those questions in for producer Jay to see and to consider. And the best ones he may keep, because we've got a video version of Ask Amy Anything that we'll get to coming up before the next week is done, before the holiday is over. Let's see. What do I want to do next? Well, we told you on our last show that Kyrie Irving had picked up the option for the final year of his deal with Brooklyn. But what if I told you that was a huge surprise to the team? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Basketball is obviously the most important thing, but you know, I try not to let that get in the way of somebody else's personal decisions, you know what I'm saying? And, but like I said, whatever happens, the friendship will still be there.
Kyrie, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask this question. So, you know, I'm going. Do you want to be a Brooklyn Nets still?
pass it to my left.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's all fun and games until somebody picks up their option. Kyrie Irving at the BET Awards, and before that, Kevin Durant on the ETC podcast. It came to a, I would say, let me think how I want to say this. It came to a head this week because Kyrie Irving had to decide on his player option the final year of his deal. And maybe came to a false resolution. That's what I wanted to say. I wouldn't for a second believe that this is a neat little bow and there's no more conversation around Kyrie and there's no more speculation about his future simply because he picked up his option. I think this is just a resting place, if you will. There's going to be more to come in this saga, in this story of Kyrie, because that's Kyrie. It's never calm around Kyrie, ever. And he chooses it that way. He does. So when he picks up his option, the team has to pivot. Because according to Brian Windhorst on the Hoops Collective podcast, longtime Cavaliers insider when Kyrie was there and now NBA insider for ESPN, the Nets actually didn't expect this move from Kyrie.
I was told that the option pickup came as a total surprise to the Nets, that they found out when everybody else did. The concept of getting Kyrie to a new contract was that they would have some protections in terms of games played and maybe an understanding of how things might be different. And the people that I talked to in the league are skeptical that Kyrie is going to be all for one and one for all on this. You thought last year was bad, just you wait. So again, I don't know. I would have thought that this was a depressurizing element for the Nets, but I'm telling you, not everybody in the league thinks so.
And that was kind of my point. He picks up his option, but I don't think it's over. Maybe for the upcoming year, it's KD and Kyrie. But what happens after that? What if the Nets are still in that space where they're not willing to hitch their wagon to his star, to him and KD? KD's already under contract, but what if they don't want to pay him the max deal or give him the max number of years that he's seeking? And what if it's just a delay or a postponement? What if he and LeBron really do want to pair up again at the end of LeBron's career? According to you, our listeners, and our poll, it was easily 75% of you who said, hell no, you don't want to see LeBron and Kyrie play together again. That is still a possibility, though. But likely not this season because Russell Westbrook is remaining with the Lakers. He picked up his $47.1 million option to return to the Lakers. $47 million for Russell Westbrook. OMG. This is a guy who just finished his fourth year with four different teams. So after more than a decade in Oklahoma City, he's been on a tour of the NBA. Houston, Washington, Los Angeles. $47.1 million for a guy that at times last year was benched in the fourth quarter by Frank Vogel. It's a lot of money. Now they've got a new coach in Darvin Ham. Did I say Darwin? Darvin, I'm sorry. Darvin Ham. It's the Hump Show. And according to NBA insider Shams Charania, the Lakers are moving forward with Russ.
His future is in LA. The Lakers want to see this work this upcoming season. From everything I've been told, There have been different trade scenarios that have been thrown out, I guess speculated on. But with the new coach, Darvin Ham, I really believe this front office group, this management group, the coaching staff, Russell Westbrook, they all want this to work. And we've seen Darvin Ham, Rob Pelinka, they've all been vocal publicly saying, we want him back and we want him in a position where he can play both sides of the ball. We want him to be more of a defender. Darvin Ham's going to bring that, and I do believe they feel like Russell Westbrook is the fit for this team.
Russell Westbrook with the Lakers, John Wall with the Clippers. Those are two very, very highly paid point guards. Will it work out for either one of those teams? Steve Ballmer made some comments on Tuesday about how he thinks the Clippers are a championship contender if they stay healthy. Where have I heard that before? So Kyrie, KD, LeBron, Russ, John Wall, these are the biggest names over the last couple of days making headlines, and free agency begins on Thursday. What will Zach LaVine do? He, I think, is the prize free agent. All right, you got a couple of minutes left. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page too. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, part of our Hump Show. Producer James will be armed and dangerous. To be sure.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
It's that time of the week again. And actually, I don't know if we're ever going to move this puppy to a different part of the show. Producer James, what is the ruling on trying to move Ask Amy around over the course of the summer so that different segments of the audience can hear it? We talked about it. We did it once, didn't we?
I think once or twice we might have done it.
I think it was only once. And the week after that, we didn't do it at all.
No.
Because of circumstances beyond our control. And so we haven't really followed through on that. I don't know if it's necessary. I just know there's probably a lot of people who don't hear it.
No, I do still like the idea of doing it. It's just I think we didn't have a really chance to move it because we had so much stuff going on that had to fit in other slots where we had more time. But
yeah,
definitely in the summer, if it winds down a little bit, we could definitely try to move it around and give some new audience.
Sports never stop. Sports never stop. All right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Producer Jay has your questions. I hope they're good ones. I'm ready to go.
I'm going to start off with a couple of 4th of July themes.
Okay.
Not entirely all 4th of July themes. I'll save some of those for our video version of Ask Amy Anything coming out next week.
It's going to be another holiday, another video Ask Amy. Yay.
Of course. But we'll get a couple in here. So Reginald wants to know, what is your favorite July 4th meal? And dessert, he wants to know.
And dessert. Well, ice cream for July 4th. I don't know how you can do anything other than ice cream for July 4th. But a few years ago, I actually made cupcakes for the first time. They were lemon cream, a very light lemon taste with a cream frosting, a cream cheese frosting. And it was my first time ever. And they were so pretty because I put blueberry on top. So it was lemon cupcake, the cream cheese frosting, and a blueberry on top. So they looked very festive. Yes. And they were in little red cupcake papers. Cupcake, what are those called? I don't even know.
What are those called? Wrappers?
Wrappers, yes. Cupcake wrappers. So that was fun, but generally that's a little bit too much work. So I do love coconut cream pie on July 4th, but I just had one last weekend. I actually made it for my friends in New Hampshire and took it with me and then brought a piece home for producer Jay so he could be introduced to coconut cream pie.
Introduced I was.
He's decided that he might like coconut. So I love light, fruity desserts. I would say my favorite meal would be pretty standard. Now, I don't know if I'll cook out this weekend. I'm not sure yet because we are working, so there's still a lot that's going on. But if I can get the charcoal grill going and I can put burgers on a grill, I mean, that's what I did last year when I had family in town for July 4th. We did a huge burgers, dogs, sausages, vegetables on the grill. It was amazing. We loved it.
All right, I'll keep it here for 4th of July. Another one. Kevin wants to know, does Penny get irritated by fireworks?
Yes.
Or is she okay with
yes.
that?
Yes. Well, so I hope it's not as bad this year, but generally it freaks her out, like thunder. I have noticed lately she's not quite as anxious around Thunder. So maybe it's going to be, not quite as I don't know. I mean, I can't speak right now. Maybe it won't be quite as bad this year. That's all I had to say. Amy, that's all you had to say. This is the worst version of Ask Amy Anything ever. Yes, she's still anxious by fireworks. Your host sucks. I hope it's not as bad this year. That's all I had to say, really.
Well, we're moving on for the 4th of July ones.
Thank God.
Brian wants to know, he asks, when you have time off, are you the type to watch a movie or binge watch a series?
Both, actually. When I was on vacation in North Carolina, the friends that I had with me, we watched movies. But recently, I've been binge watching a couple of different shows on either Amazon Prime or Disney Plus. Thank you. So I would say both. I'm in the middle of watching Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, and Jay and I watched the Obi-Wan series. But I also love movies. I went to see Top Gun and... last spring, I think it was, I watched all the Mission Impossible movies. I'd never seen them. I love the Daniel Craig James Bond movies. I'll watch Star Wars anytime. I love Lord of the Rings. So yeah, I do love to do both. My DVR still is 100% full. I've not been able to get anything off my DVR. This spring was so insane that I just haven't had much time to do it. But that's the goal for the summer, clean off the DVR.
David wants to know now, what were your first and your most recent concerts?
I have no idea what my first concert was. I'm sure it was a concert I went to with my mom, my brother, maybe some type of concert at a church. But I don't know what it was. I can tell you one of my first adult concerts, I can't remember the initial one. My most recent concert, are we counting the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra?
Absolutely.
Okay, so then my most recent concert in person would have been in the spring of 2020, well, late winter, early spring of 2020, right before everything shut down. I went to see the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra in Newark, New Jersey, playing the score to Return of the Jedi while the movie aired on a big screen, and it was phenomenal. They're doing Empire Strikes Back coming up next spring, so I'm definitely going to that. They're doing Jaws at Thanksgiving. I'm definitely going to that. So, yes, right now I'm big into the symphony orchestra music. Before that, though, it was my second time seeing Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden. So those were my two most recent concerts.
I got to ask, both times equally as good? Because people who see him, I feel like see him like hundreds of times, and it's every time they say it gets better and better.
I thought it couldn't get better than the first one. The second one was better. I had better seats. I was just off. I was above the stage right next to it. And so it was an amazing perspective. And I thought the music selection was better. I just thought the crowd, everything was better as much as I loved the first one.
So Russell asks now, this one I thought was interesting. If you had to pick one of these guys on your team, who would it be? Draymond Green or Dennis Rodman?
Oh, heavens. I'll say Draymond. Dennis Rodman is a rebounder extraordinaire and obviously a guy that clogs up the middle, and he's got athleticism for days, and he's so much energy, and he really did add another dimension to the Chicago Bulls. But Draymond is an all-around player. I get it that people make fun of his offense, but Draymond is a guy that can go out and he can not only play defense, but he can pass the ball, and he is the heart and soul of that team. Dennis Rodman was never the focus of a team. He was never the main cog in the wheel like Draymond is. How many times Steve Kerr has indicated that, you know, Draymond makes that team go, and that without him, they're not as good. In fact, without him, they stink. So I think Draymond's a better all-around player, as much as there's probably no rebounder ever like Dennis Rodman.
Now, Al wants to know, if given the chance, would you lift and kiss the Stanley Cup?
Of course. Why wouldn't I? Does that mean my team's never going to win it if I do that?
It might.
No, it doesn't. But anyway, yes, of course. I've been near the Stanley Cup before. I just haven't had the chance to touch it and put my fingerprints on it. But, oh, yeah, I definitely would.
Kobe wants to know, what shoes do you use in your rotation? What shoe or shoes do you use in your rotation when you're training for your half marathon?
Asics Gel is really the only shoe I run in. it's the only one that I felt like can withstand the pounding of doing all the miles on concrete, protecting my knees and feet and shins and all that jazz. So yeah, I've already bought my next pair of shoes. I do this whenever I have a coupon or a discount for a particular store. I go ahead and I buy the next round of shoes. But ASICS gel is what I run in.
Dan asks, what is your favorite?
Usually with some sort of pink or purple on them.
Oh, nice. Of course. Good touch.
Yes.
Dan asks, what is your favorite waterfall location?
Wow.
Interesting question, right?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. When I was a kid growing up in New Hampshire, we hiked this. It was an incredible location. We hiked something called Angel Falls. It's in the White Mountains. And I'll never forget it. It was one of the toughest days of my young life because it was quite a hike up. And then coming down, we were exhausted. It's even worse sometimes coming down, how that affects your thighs, your quads, your shins, all that jazz. We had our dog with us, and she was so exhausted she couldn't even get into the back of the truck when we got done. My stepdad had to lift her up, and I remember she conked out the entire way home. So, yeah, it was called Angel Falls, and it was up in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. So I would say that is probably my favorite waterfall, if you're asking me. There's a lot of sentiment attached to it.
We'll do this one here, then we'll go into rapid fire. Tim says, you said when you were younger you lived in Georgia. He wants to know, what town did you live in?
Athens, actually. I lived in Athens.
All right, and with that, we'll get into a little rapid fire to close us out. Dinner or lunch?
Both. Why do I have to pick one or the other? Why can't I have three meals a day?
You can, but if you had to pick just one for the day.
What? No, I don't want to pick just one. I don't want to eat. Why are you making me eat just one meal?
Not my call. Out of my hands.
Dinner. I'll sleep through lunch then.
Heater or air conditioning?
AC.
Rainfall or snowfall?
Snowfall, baby! Good New Hampshire girl. Love the snow.
All right, I know this one's going to be tough for you. Flower garden or vegetable garden?
That's not fair. I seem to be better at growing flowers, though right now my tomato plant, Regina, well, she's not really a vegetable, but my tomato plant is thriving. I actually pulled the first two tomatoes off of Regina on Tuesday night, and then a bird pecked into another one and took out a bite of it. Damn bird. Anyway, Regina's already producing tomatoes, but she's a fruit plant, not a veggie. Yeah, I'll go with flowers because they make me happy. Vegetables, I'm not great at them, and they're a lot of work.
Neptune or Poseidon?
Neptune. What a weird question.
Fight a shark or fight a crocodile? And that'll close us out.
Fight a shark.
Yeah?
I mean, you don't really fight a shark. You bop him in the nose as much as you can. And then if you can, you try to get his fin and flip him over. That's how you do it.
If you're on land with a crocodile, you can kind of do that zigzag technique. And
can
they say
you?
That's how you can get away.
You
I mean,
didn't
I don't
say
know.
It was on land. I'm not worried about a crocodile on land. Who's worried about a crocodile on the land? I would be worried about a crocodile in the water. Then you can't wrestle him.
It'd be easier to evade.
Would it? You didn't give me that option. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.